daughters are with family this week, but we're so glad to be here with you. I was happy when Pastor Randy asked me to come and fill in for him. I hope he's having a good time, and I like your pastor. He's just a blessing to the body of Christ, and I'm sure to you also. So this morning, would you open your Bibles to Matthew 22, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. My wife and I currently, last time we were with you, we had just moved down to New London, and we are getting adjusted and getting ready to, we're actually forming our launch team, because if you weren't here last time, we're starting a church in New London, Connecticut, and we are putting together a launch team, getting ready to start a church in New London, Connecticut. And we're very excited about that. But let's get into God's Word today. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I think it's kind of funny here where in the beginning of our passage it says that Jesus had just silenced the Sadducees. They were likely questioning him and trying to trap him in his words. And this was a common thing that they did. So the Pharisees heard that their competition, the Sadducees, didn't do a good job stumping Jesus. I mean, really, what a ridiculous notion to think that you could stump Jesus in his words. So they brought out the big guns. One of their friends was a lawyer. In the Bible, in the Jewish culture, a lawyer was someone who knew their law was the Word of God. It was the Old Testament law. And lawyers in those days used the Old Testament law to enforce the law. So they got out, they brought out the big guns. One of their friends was a lawyer. And I'm sure that they were thinking at them as they're getting ready to bring their friend to talk to Jesus. They're thinking, man, we've got this one. This guy's a lawyer. He knows Scripture inside and out. If anybody can stump Jesus, it's this guy. So he questioned him concerning the law. You see, the Pharisees were all about the law. They're all about following the Mosaic law. They're very ritualistic, concerned with external holiness by strictly following the laws and ordinances of the Old Testament. The Pharisees' code of morality consisted of countless minute rules and regulations that they had to follow to a T. They wanted to know what Jesus thought about this. So in verse 35, we read, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" They thought, man, we're going to trap him this time. We've got him. So Jesus answered with a response they could not argue with the response, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." And they were silenced. And in the next five or six verses, if you read them, it's like Jesus knew that he stumped them. And his response was kind of like, well, since I've got you here, what do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? And verse 46 says, "And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore." In essence, Jesus summed up the law in one word: love. All God is asking is that we love him. And what that comes down to is this: our love for God is an issue of our heart. You see, the Pharisees got it all mixed up. It was completely mixed up. They thought that by their actions and by their strict observance of the law, that that was the love for God. You see, actions do not equal love. But instead, love inspires us into action. Amen? Our love for our spouse, our children, or our parents inspires us to display acts of love. In the same way, our love for God should inspire our lives, us to live lives that show our love for Him. And this morning I want to talk to you about what really is the center of our entire moral obligation. It is expressed in the twofold direction of loving God and loving people in that order. God has to be the center of everything in our lives. Verse 37 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is actually a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6:5, which is a portion of what's called the Jewish Shema. And this is a prayer that was repeated two times a day by Jewish people. It was prayed along with Deuteronomy, a portion from chapter 11, Numbers 15, and basically contains all the fundamental truths of the Jewish religion. But you see, God wanted more than lip service from His people. He didn't want them just to quote these verses, didn't just want them to quote these words and get it just all right. He wanted and still wants us to love Him from the inside out, and there's no other way. And if I were to ask you right now if you love God with all of your heart, you would tell me, yes, I do. God has always wanted to have a deep, intimate relationship with His people. We were designed to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And we do. But doesn't it seem like sometimes we're just trying to fit God into our lives? There are so many distractions out there that we come across that come into our life. Life becomes so busy, even with good stuff. Have you ever noticed that? You get so caught up and so busy doing good things. And it becomes a distraction in our relationship with God. And we become so busy with these things that it seems like God is getting the leftovers in our lives. See, we give Him a piece of ourselves if we have the time. We do everything we want to do, and then we try to fit God in at the end. And God is saying, I want all of you. But does He? Does He really have all of us? Does He really have all of me? We say that He does, but does He really? And if this is the greatest of all commands, I want to make sure that He does. I don't want, nor does He want us to follow Him half-heartedly or lukewarm. He wants all of us. He wants us to love Him with everything that we are. And I wonder sometimes, what is it that keeps me, what is it what keeps us from loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our spirit, with everything that's within us? We know of His goodness. We've seen what He's done. He's saved us. He's delivered us. And we've gotten a taste of His goodness, but we're so easily distracted sometimes. You see, Jesus may have humbly come as a servant, but He didn't come to beg us to give Him just a little bit of us. He wants everything from His followers. Who is Jesus to us? Who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to you? Is He really Lord and Master of our lives? Are we in awe of who God is and what He's done for us? Have we taken Him for granted and not seen Him for who He really is? His awesomeness and His holiness. Let's put some things into perspective here. Let's take a moment and think about this. Let's start off by thinking, by doing this. Let's take a moment now. Let's think about you. Just for a moment. Think about yourself. It's enough. It's enough. Now think about God. Think about who you are compared to the vastness and awesomeness of God Himself. The God of the universe. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which I have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them." Our God is amazing. I mean, the vastness of the universe does not even begin to describe the awesomeness of God. And it's important for us to maintain a high view of who God really is. Have you ever thought about how big God is? You ever think about how big the universe is? He created that? Let me give you an idea of how big God really is. Let's start with the universe. Well, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, don't we? From one end to the other is about 100,000 light years from one end of the galaxy to the other. A light year is a speed in which light travels in 1 year's time, about 1,186 miles per second. So at that speed, it would take over 100,000 years to go from one end to the galaxy from the other. And according to science, there is about an estimated 350 billion galaxies in our universe. Here on planet Earth, there are 6 billion people, near 7 billion people. And here you are, one of 6 billion specks on this planet, in this galaxy that's one of 350 billion galaxies in all its vastness. And God created all that, and God created you. God created everything that we see. But what is man that he is mindful of us? Yet Jesus was able to say in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In all the vastness of it all, he zooms in on you and loves you and died for you. This is awesome. The God of the universe, the God of creation, takes special interest in you, in me. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Creator of the universe loves me and sent His Son to die for me? That amazes me. I stand in awe and love of Him even more. This love for Him has to come from a realization of who He is and what He's done for us. Because He wants a close and intimate relationship with you. And this love is so awesome that it should inspire us to live lives dedicated and set apart to Him. Once we realize how much God really loves us, it will change our lives. Amen? I was 20 years old when I first realized this. You know, I'd gone to church all my life and just kind of did the activities of church. Never got saved, never followed God, but I finally got born again when I was 20 years old. I knew about God, I knew about the whole church thing, but didn't really know about Him. I knew about Him, but not Him. You see, you can know a lot about Him up here, but know nothing about Him down here. I had a very high view of myself, didn't have a very high view of God. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. It was all about me. The decisions that I wanted to make, the things that I wanted to do. To me, as a teenager, life was about friends and fun and doing whatever it took that so that I could have both. Really, life was all about me. See, God wasn't even in the equation. I mean, I thought about Him from time to time because of my upbringing, but really had no desire to love Him or to follow Him or to give my life to Him. How many people know that when God is out of the equation, life gets pretty messy? What do they say about Burger King? Have it your way. Whoppers are messy. During this time of confusion, disappointment, of shame, God was calling me to Himself. And I had shut God out. I didn't want anything to do with it. I remember opportunities and times when God would come knock on the door of my heart and I just kind of push Him aside. Because my own agenda, my own plans, what I wanted was more important, more fun. Man, I was deceived. I don't know how it happened, but when I was about 20 years old, I got dragged to church. You see, I didn't get saved in the church at that point, but I went to church. It was after reading the Bible on my own at that point and just seeing, you know, just wanting to see truth and just knowing that my life had just come to a point where I was shameful of what I've done and who I've become. I read the Bible, and I found the truth of the gospel. God revealed and opened my eyes so I could see that He loved me, that He wanted to help me, that He wanted to save me from my life of sin, that He wanted to bring restoration into my life and deliverance and the forgiveness of sins. And at that point, I saw His love. I began to realize His love for me. And in my living room, I got saved. I got born again. I asked Him to come be the Lord of my life. It wasn't that when I got saved, I became perfect. But I began living a life of surrender to His plan, to His will, and to His purpose. The question is, who or what is central in our lives? For some, it could be your career. For others, it might be money or material things. And then others, it could be comfort or your own plans. Maybe there's a relationship that you've elevated in your life over God. For others, it's entertainment and it's the good life. For others, it's an organization. Whatever it might be, we need to enthrone Jesus as King of our lives. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, we face so many things in our lives that will distract us from Jesus, but this verse says, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What do we have our eyes fixed on? Is it Jesus? Are our eyes focused on the one who not only created everything, but who's totally aware of you and your needs? Out of 6 billion people on the planet, within the vastness of the billions of galaxies, He sees you. He loves you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He has an indescribable love for you. It amazes me to know that the Creator would come to earth as a man. The God who created the galaxies, the God who created the whole universe in its vastness, would come to earth as a man. Jesus Christ. He would live like everybody else. He worked, he played, he laughed, he cried. He had friends. I'm sure he had enemies. He was tempted. But yet he didn't sin. And came to earth for this sole reason. He paid the price for a debt that we owe. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, we all deserve hell. We all deserve this punishment, but Jesus took our place. He paid the penalty for our sin, and this is His love for us. He left heaven, He came to earth, and gave up His life for us. Jesus gave it all for you. Will you give it all to Him? Will you live your life for Him, putting Him before everything else? Matthew 22 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Will you say yes to the greatest commandment? Could I have the worship team come here, please, as we conclude? Will you put Jesus before anything else? Will you put Him before your own pleasure, your comfort, or maybe even your own reputation? Jesus has to be everything to us, not just something that we manage to fit into our lives. Jesus is everything. He's the Creator, the Giver of life, the only source of salvation. Maybe you're here today and Jesus really is not the center of your life. Maybe you never entered into a relationship with Him. Well, today you can leave this place knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you are in right standing with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And you can experience the same love that I experience. And the love that the Creator of the universe has made available to you. What happens when we give our lives to Jesus? It's not about following rules and regulations and all these strict laws. What happens is He begins to change you from the inside out. It's not a list of to-dos, but it's a list of I want to's now. I want to honor Him. I want to love Him. I want to please God now. I want to honor Him with everything that I have, with my whole life. Something that nobody else can do, change us from the inside out. And He helps you and gives you the desire to live a life that pleases Him. Or maybe you're here today and that you are born again. You are following Christ right now. You've made that decision already. But it seems like your attention has been drawn somewhere else. And you have sensed the Holy Spirit inside of you yearning for the centrality of Jesus once again in your life. Inside of you just feel like something's out of order. Something's out of place. I need to make some adjustments. I need to make some changes to put so that Jesus can once more be enthroned centrally in my life. He wants to be your provider. Spiritually, physically, emotionally. And relationally. And I believe right now that God is moving upon Christians, believers, and soon to be believers in this place today. So let's pray. Let me ask you this. First and foremost, you're here and you have not trusted Jesus to be your Savior. You've not been born again today. If you're tired of having it your way and you want to surrender all to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven and want Jesus to change the course of your life as you give your life and surrender to Him. If you believe that He came to earth as a man, God came to earth as a man, He went to the cross and bore all of your punishment for all of your sins. And He died, and 3 days later, He rose again so that you can have forgiveness and eternal life with God the Father. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to pray with you right now. Father, You saw those who raised their hands. I ask that You move by Your spirits, that this decision is a firm decision, that they count the cost of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means that we lay down our life for You. If you raise your hand, would you pray? Pray with me. Or pray a prayer like this. And would you all repeat this after me? Father God, so far I've lived my life for me. But now I want to live my life for You. I turn from my sin and put my trust in You alone. Thank You for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe He died on the cross, carried all my sin, all my sickness, died on the cross, put in the tomb, and 3 days later rose from the dead. And right now, I confess Jesus as Lord. There's others here today that by raising your hand, you are showing that you're responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're making a decision today that with God's help you desire and will take steps in keeping Jesus central in your life. And love Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. And if that's you, would you raise your hand?